Hi, this is Dennis Leary, and you are listening to the mellifluous tones of... Fuck. Hi, this is Dennis... Hey, I'm doing it. I'm fucking... Hi, this is Dennis Leary. Hi, this is Dennis Leary, and you are listening to the wonderful, fabulous, incredible Robert Kelly on... Fuck. What's the name of it? You know what, dude? Podcast on gloryhole.com, on gloryholeradio.com. You know what, dude?
And we're back with You Know What Dude podcast number 14. And it's me and Joe D.
Yep.
We're sitting here on a fucking unspecific day at an unspecific time.
Yeah.
Fucking doing this podcast. This little fucking engine that could. You know what?
What's up, Bob?
And I'm eating fucking cake.
Yeah. Just bad for radio.
Bad for radio and bad for fucking ML douchebag on iTunes who didn't like us breathing or smoking. Imagine him. Imagine me eating cake. How much this annoys him. Watch this.
So you got your chalice once again?
My chalice.
What was that mug called? That's the one I was making fun of last time. The Beach Street mug. What was it called?
Yeah.
Best of the Fest?
Best of the Fest. No.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that is like a title on it. What's it say? It's from a festival. The metal, the gauntlet.
I don't know. Wild Bill's 2009 says, old-fashioned root beer.
Says it on the other side.
All right,
the Bill. Event.
This is the Roar...
At the Shore.
At the Shore.
That's what it is. That's what it
2009.
Was. Roar at the Shore.
Yeah.
Look at this. Your wife's buttering this cake for you.
Hey, don't talk about my wife like that.
That's not saying it bad. It's a loaf.
Hey, don't talk on the phone.
Don't talk about Bobby like that, Don. Hey, see what I did?
Well, we're back on the fucking show. And it's amazing to me, too, that, fuck, everybody's got a fucking podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to... I don't want to sit here. I feel kind of weird sometimes hacking the podcast out. Like, you know, hey, get on it and subscribe. And, you know, half of me is like, you know what, dude? You know what, dude? Fuck.
What's
half of me is like, fuck it. You know, let it be. If what we got is what we got, that's what we got. Right? The other half of me, I see these people that fucking put out a podcast in a day. Right. And it shoots to fucking number uno runo.
Right.
In a fucking day. And the way the thing works, here's how it works.
They're famous. People care.
Yeah. Here's the other way it works.
Oh, okay.
You get people the daily subscriptions to iTunes. That's what keeps you in the top charts.
Right.
How many subscriptions you get per day, new ones. And they, I think they wipe the slate clean every day. So right. You know, we've been in the top 200. In the top 100, we were in for over a month. The top 200 for around 2 months, a little over 2 months. But we can't seem to break the fucking top 20. Never mind the top 10. Right. And Fantasyland, the top 5. We can't seem to get in there. And now with all these other podcasts coming out, and these famous people with fucking, I mean, it's just, they shoot right to the fucking top. There's no dues paid. There's no fucking, it's, but then it's like, okay, fuck it. Who gives a shit? That what the, the people that listen are the people, those are the fans. Are you, and they'll fucking tell people.
Right.
And it will be what it is.
Bobby,
or
uh-huh.
We can beg for subscriptions like other people do. Beg.
The number ones aren't begging for subscriptions.
They are. I've no. They're doing the same thing. Subscribe. Subscribe. Subscribe.
Right.
Make, go do this. Make sure you do this. Spread. They, trust me. They're fucking telling people. Hey.
All right. So then
go.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just not working.
It's working, Bob. But you got to ask yourself, who you doing this for?
Come on, Joe. Go ahead. Give me the pep talk. Give me the pep talk, Joe.
You doing it for the fame, Bob? Or you doing it for the art?
Art.
I know the answer.
Art? Art. You almost made me choke on my blueberry fucking zucchini cake.
Art didn't almost make you choke on that. You almost made you choke on that. That was such a big bite. Jesus Christ. How is it? Good?
It's fucking truly sensational.
Yeah?
Yeah, the butter makes the world, honey.
Yeah, you put butter. Forget about it.
Yeah.
That's what
you gotta
do.
I admire you, Joe, because you're a foodie, but you've been on a diet. You're actually going to the gym, and you've been eating healthy.
Yeah, healthy for me.
Which is?
Just not eating sweets and soda and fried shit, you know? That's basically the bulk of it. No sugar. Now, I mean, a little sugar and, like, some juice.
Right. Healthy sugar.
And cereal. But, like, but cereal meaning, like, honey bunches of oats. I'm not eating fucking Captain Crunch, you know what I mean? So,
how good is Captain Crunch, though?
It's great.
What's your favorite cereal?
Of all time?
Of all time.
Probably Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams is deceivingly good.
Yeah.
You think it's an adult cereal or some type of middle-of-the-road cereal, but Golden Grahams, but the thing with Golden Grahams, you let them get soggy.
They stink when they're soggy.
And it fucking sucks.
But if you get them right in between soggy and hard,
woof.
It's like Captain Crunch.
Woof.
You get it right in between.
Right. Yeah, Captain Crunch, too not soggy enough, you'll hurt the roof of your mouth.
Yeah.
Really bad, too. It fucking sucks eating that.
Yeah, it hurts. It's like rocks.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Cookie Crisp, another one.
Cookie Crisp
right in the middle.
Fuck.
I found Cookie Crisp down the... It has it right at the corner deli.
I haven't seen that in forever.
Yeah, it's hard to find Cookie Crisp. Those are mini chocolate chip cookies, bro.
It's ridiculous.
Made with some type of chemical that makes it a cereal.
It's ridiculous.
Oh.
It's ridiculous.
If you look into the bowl, and when I eat cereal, I don't fuck around with those little bowls. You know, it's like, okay, people who have cereal in the little fucking regular bowl, and they'll have like one or two, they'll have like two bowls or two and a half bowls. Just go back and get another. Fuck that. You get that big Tupperware bowl that you mix a cake in, and you pour the fucking 2.5 bowls in there one shot.
And eat it with a spatula.
Yeah. You get that big fucking spoon. You pour the milk in just enough because you don't want to have no milk at the end.
Right.
But you don't want to have too much.
I don't mind the milk at the end. I drink it.
Yeah, you gotta have enough milk in there, but not too much.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You'd have just enough. You gotta have it so the milk peeks out from the fucking cereal.
That's it.
Yeah.
It looks like a mountain with like a lake around it. Right?
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Like it just rained. It just rained.
I'll tell you two other great ones. Four other great ones. Cereals.
Yeah.
Fruity Pebbles.
Great.
Apple Jacks.
Nice.
Count Chocula.
Good.
And if you can find it, fucking Boo Berry.
Boo Berry, you can't find.
You can't find it, dude.
Nobody has Boo Berry.
That shit is good, man. You can't fucking find it, man. Dude. Frankenberry either. You can't find those motherfuckers.
Dude, Boo Berry is hard to find because they have the Boo Berry fucking marshmallows.
Yeah, dude.
Which is the fucking, when you get those, because those don't, the milk doesn't affect those motherfuckers.
No.
I mean, it takes a minute for the milk to get to those.
Yeah.
But they're still good. When you crunch into that, ooh, it's like silk on the outside. When the milk hits it, right? It turns it to silk.
Yeah.
Sugar silk.
That's a good way to put it. You're right.
And then you bite into it and it's crunchy, the texture.
Oh,
God, on the blueberry. I like, but the Apple Jacks and the Fruity Pebbles. What was it? Did you say Fruity Pebbles?
Fruity Pebbles are
Fruity
great.
Fruity Pebbles are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Fruity Pebbles are fucking great. And the one thing that really gets me on the Fruity Pebbles is the fucking color.
Yep.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is
fun. It's fun to look at.
And how great is it when they start to congeal? And you get like those clumps?
You know what? I'll tell you a cereal that you're not going to think is good. But it's good. It's good. And you would think it wouldn't be good soggy, but I like it soggy. Frosted Mini Wheats.
You know, my friend loves those fucking things. I don't like them, man. I don't like them. Because the wheat part tastes like shit. And then the frosting part, it's too sweet. It tastes just like sugar.
You know what? I'm out of line. I'm wrong. It's not Frosted Mini Wheats. What the fuck are the Chex things? I fucked up.
Chex cereal.
Chex Mix. Not Chex Mix. Chex.
Yeah, Chex was the Chex. Cereal first. Yeah.
But there's Chex.
Yeah.
Is the cereal that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Frosty Mini Wheats. I like Frosty Mini Wheats. I love Frosty Mini Wheats. I like when they get together. It makes like a mash of sweet hay.
yeah, I know what you mean. Like whenever I was young and I saw an animal eating hay and I thought it looked like it would taste good, or like when you eat grass when you're a kid, I thought it would taste like Frosted Mini Wheats. But I don't like Frosted Mini Wheats now, but I mean I at least thought that's what like hay would taste like.
Yeah, they got a little crazy though with Reese's, and you know, they started going a little fucking nuts.
I'll tell you two cereals that absolutely stink that I was conned into repeatedly as a kid. Thinking, you know, because of the fucking commercials. Corn Pops. Actually, no, wait. Corn Pops are all right.
They're all right, but they're anticlimactic. I mean, you put them in there, you bite into them, they have this little sweet, you think they're going to be better. It's like that fucking fruity gum.
Right.
You know that fruit gum? What is that called? Fruit Stripes.
Fruit gum.
What did I tell you about talking on the podcast? Fruit Stripes.
I'm glad she was there because I didn't know what you were talking about.
We're going to get her a notepad to write shit down. We're going to get her a podcast fucking eraser board. Fruit Stripes taste amazing. When you first put it in your mouth, the fruit, you know what I'm talking about. And then 2 seconds later, it's fucking dead in your mouth. Those pops are the same thing.
I'll tell you cereal that stinks. This one I'm positive fucking stinks. Sugar Smacks. Those stunk, those fucking things. I can't remember if it was the bear or the frog.
It's a frog.
What was the one the bear had stunk too?
It's a frog.
What did the bear have?
The bear? I don't know what the bear had.
I think he was Sugar Smacks. There was a bear that wore the blue T-shirt that had something that was just like Sugar Smacks, and they stunk. No, that was Tiger.
What'd I say? Shut the Hey, you got one in, hon. All right? Chalk it up and move on.
But I'm glad, Don, that you said Frosted Flakes, because that's a good cereal. But again, not for a whole box. I've accidentally bought that whole box a few times thinking, oh, this will be good.
Too much sugar. It's too much. I will fucking...
That is good.
She's
I've had Dawn's frosted
Frosted Flakes cutlets. Chicken cutlets. Who would have fucking thunk it?
I don't know.
That was good.
How did you?
Yes.
It's proof of soulmates.
Yeah.
That you found the one woman on earth that figured out to put Frosted Flakes on chicken. And well, you know what I got? That would be.
This is what happened. I got lucky, and I know a bunch of guys that are married. With wives that don't cook, or wives that cook but don't like to cook, you know, it's nothing more depressing than me to with a guy who's with a chick that doesn't know how to cook or doesn't like to cook. My girl was passed down from her mom.
Right.
Her mom liked to cook, and her mom taught her how to cook. And my wife loves to cook. I mean, loves to cook.
Right.
She'll whip shit up in a second too, which is amazing to me. I went to bed today for a half hour. I woke up, turkey burgers with cheese in them, salad and ribs. What the fuck?
You just reminded me of how lonely I am.
Ah, I'm sorry.
I go to bed, I wake up, there's still no food. And I have to go find it. It's one of the loneliest walks ever when you live alone and you don't have food in your house. And you have to go on that food walk because you can't figure out what you want delivered. You have to go searching for it. Oh, God.
I remember that. I used to have that when I lived up on 97th Street. I used to be up on 97th Street and you're walking around looking, and especially when you don't want to spend too much money on something.
Yeah.
You got to find that right in the middle type of food. It's usually Chinese.
Yeah.
You usually go to the fucking, the old standbys, $7 for that lunch menu that they'll give you even though it's dinner time because they know you.
Yeah. The usual. Hey, Madge, give me the usual. Madge. Who named Madge works in a Chinese restaurant?
I don't know. I got it. You threw an Italian name in for a Chinese restaurant.
Here's the thing. I have two foodie friends. I have many foodie friends, but I have two whose wives really cook some shit up. It's you and Dawn, right?
Well, not me. It's Dawn.
Dawn, yeah.
And here's the thing, though. I cook. I can't cook.
You're not a bad cook.
No, I used to cook a lot in L.A. Don't fucking laugh. It's just when
I cook.
You're
not a bad cook.
I cook. I don't. I'm very experimental. This is the fucking problem. You ready? The food I get in this house is run by the government of fucking Dawn. All right?
And it should be.
There's no voting. Okay, and most of the time, 99% of the time, I'm all right with that. But there's certain things that I like that we don't get in this fucking house, which bugs me. When she makes Hunter's stew to the layman chicken cacciatore.
Thank you.
She makes it
because it bothers me when you say Hunter's stew.
I know. That's
every time it irritates me. It's irritating.
That's why I say it.
Hunter's stew.
That's the
shut
fucking,
up. That's, it's fucking chicken and tomato sauce.
No, it's not. It's a lot. There's a roux. You need to make a roux. This is the thing. She wouldn't make it. She won't make it with the bone-in chicken, which is a Hunter stew is made with bone-in chicken. Any fucking Italian worth their salt is making fucking chicken cacciatore with the fucking shut the Dawn. Shut your face. What the fuck? I'm gonna fucking. It's not even a joke. Shut up. Just shut your face.
She's making a good point. She's making a good point.
Shut your mouth too, Joe.
See.
This is the thing. What I'm saying is that it's every recipe on the internet. Every recipe out there is you make it with the bone-in chicken.
Right.
She makes it with boneless chicken because she doesn't like bone in the chicken.
All right.
So she makes it with the... But that's all the flavor, Joe. So I had to go to the store one day.
Because the problem is... Hold on. Here's the problem.
She's so into this right now.
The problem
she wants in, Joe. She wants me to plug in a third mic and she wants to sit in on this.
Here's the problem.
I'll tell you the problem. Is that my wife is fucking trying to chime in and you're fucking taking her side.
Well, here's the point. The problem isn't the bones. The flavor's not the bones. The flavor is when you're doing the bone and chicken, you're using dark meat, and you can't find dark meat cutlets anywhere. You can't find dark meat bone. You can, but it's hard to find. So,
it's not true.
When Dawn's making it, she's probably making it with chicken breast meat.
Yep.
And white meat ain't gonna flavor shit in the fucking sauce unless it's pork.
Right.
White meat chicken ain't gonna flavor anything.
No, it's not. I mean, her chicken cacciatore is really good. She,
great.
She flavors it well on the other end with spices and stuff like that. But the fat, okay, the fat you need, the fat content from the bone in, from that dark meat, from that skin, from all that fatty goodness is what gives chicken cacciatore its fucking flavor.
Right.
So she made me, this is what she made me do. She made me go... She goes, you want bone-in chicken? Go make it yourself. So you're not going to threaten me.
Right.
You're not going to threaten me. What do you think? This is her goal in life. Her goal is to make me hairy by plucking hair on my body, like my ear hair and certain hairs that I didn't have a problem with, but all of a sudden now I do because she's been plucking them for the last 10 years, and now it grows out of my fucking ear like a hobbit. Okay.
Right.
And she wants to make me helpless. So I don't know what to do. I can't survive without her. I can't cook. I don't know how to do anything. I can't. If Dawn left me, she left for 2 days, like a month ago. This house was a disaster.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it. It was. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I'm a child.
Yeah, I don't know how you.
But that's the way she
saw that. I was like, how did he get this far in his life?
But that's not. I would have got father if she wasn't around.
You just said father, which I think was a Freudian slip.
What I'm saying is that I went out. I went to the grocery store. I grabbed the fucking guy at the store. You know how to make chicken cacciatore? He called his mother, his old Italian mother,
right,
and put me on the cell phone with him at the store. Put me on the cell phone with her. And she told me exactly what to buy. And exactly, you know what she said? Bone in chicken.
Right.
I said, not boneless, right? No. No flavor. Bone in. If you want to take the bones out after, go ahead. But bone in chicken.
Right.
I came home, I made a hunter stew to fucking die for.
I ate some of
Dawn,
it.
Dawn, how was that stew? Really? Really? That's it?
She got you good.
Fuck you.
She
fuck
got you good. Look, it was good. I ate some of it, all right? I'm not going to leave you hanging on this because as much as I would like to smash you in some way or whatever, it was a great fucking chicken cacciatore.
Was it good? Big mushrooms, big onions, peppers, spicy a little bit.
It was very good.
Yeah.
Now, let me just say this about you and my other friend who are very close friends of mine and are both foodies.
Okay.
My buddy that I'm in the band with lives in Atlanta.
What's the band's name, just for people to know?
It's called Funeral in the Mirror. If you want to check it out, it's on iTunes. Thank you.
And what else did your band do?
Oh, when we wrote the music, all the music for our film Cheat.
And what else?
I don't know what the last thing is. What else?
Fucking You Know What, Dude.
Oh, and You Know What, Dude, yes.
We really?
Did the soundtrack. That's for the song, sorry, yes, yes. I forgot, because I did that one on my own, but I gave the band credit for it. But let me just take credit while I'm here by myself.
There you go.
So, listen.
FYI, I got another fucking call from Bill today, pocket dial.
Oh, I love it. When I go down to Atlanta to record with him,
mm-hmm.
one of the things we do is we hit all our spots and we pig the fuck out together.
Right.
And we like gear up for it. It's mm-hmm. like, dude, I'm not eating any shit for a week and a half because I'm getting ready for you. As soon as I get off the plane, we go first stop every time KFC Taco Bell split and we just fucking go crazy.
But that's not Atlanta.
No, I'm just saying that's one of our spots. We hit our spots, you know?
Okay, yeah.
So, but Dawn, your wife, and his wife, Jessica, are the only two women married to foodie friends of mine that when they say I'm gonna cook, you guys don't have to go out and eat, I'm actually equally as excited about it.
Yeah.
Usually if I'm with my buddy and his wife goes, well, I'm gonna cook, I go, I just wanna go out and have fun food with my friend.
Yeah.
You're both of your wives, dude, she makes these chicken enchiladas every time I go down there. It's like,
she Mexican?
No.
Oh.
She's as white as you could be. Huh. She makes these fucking chicken enchiladas, dude. It's just, I mean, it's chicken, cheese, peppers, and cheese sauce.
Wow.
But it tastes like, I can't even, they're so fucking good. Everything she makes is retardedly fucking good.
I have to say this, too. My wife, everything she makes is fucking, I mean, from the cutlets to the meatloaf, to the roast beef, to the pork loin, everything she fucking, and you know, nothing makes me happier when she's thumbing through some fucking thick broad magazine and I know she's looking at recipes and then I see her go in the kitchen and check for certain ingredients. Like even tonight, I seen her fucking humming around the kitchen and she's like, I gotta go to the store. And I'm like, for what? I gotta get some ingredients. I know she wants to make something. She's got something. She wants to go and fucking bake something or make something. Oh, I get so excited. I'm like, don't tell me. Don't tell me.
Right.
I don't want to know. I just want to come home and have it be a surprise. And she'll fucking whip shit up. But it's fucked up my mom.
It's fucked up your mom?
Well, it's fucked up my family cooking. You know, because I grew up with my family food, my mom and my stepdad, Lar, and they cook. But my wife, you know, I'm my wife's food, you know, I like my wife's food. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like now nothing really compares to what my wife eats. Like I can't, you can't go out and buy what she makes.
I thought my mom was going to throw a fucking glass at my head.
Because you're not a real son?
One of the that's so funny, dude. Side note, my friend Brian, he's such a dick, dude, but he's one of the funniest guys in the fucking world. And he used to go, I'd be on the phone with him. I'd be like, ah, dude, I got to go, dude. I got to eat dinner with my parents. And he would go, fake parents. anyway, I thought
you are adopted.
Yeah, I am adopted.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, I think everybody listening to this probably knows by now, I would think.
I don't know if we ever talked about it.
Yeah, I'm adopted, so, you know.
Well, no, well, don't say it like it's blow it off. It's a pretty big thing.
It really doesn't matter to me, dude. I don't think about it.
When were you adopted?
At 9 days old. It's like I, you know, it's so...
Really, they got a baby, huh?
Yeah.
It's hard to do to get a baby.
Very hard to do. Very, very hard to do.
And they got you in Philly?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, in Philadelphia.
Did you know that you were, like, born in Philly?
Yeah, you know, I can't remember the name of it because I take no stake in any of this shit and I never remember things, but they know the hospital I was born in, which is kind of a fucking no-no. When you adopt a kid, they really shouldn't tell you what hospital he was born at. Makes it pretty easy to go and track down the parents, you know?
The Arab parents you have?
Half. One was Arab.
One was Arab. Yeah. How did you know that?
They told my parents.
And one was Italian?
Yeah. But they didn't tell which was which. And but I mean, they really left clues like the way the Joker would leave clues. You know what I mean? Like, it's like these obvious, like, it's, it was like they wanted to get caught or something, you know?
Well, you're Egyptian, right?
Half, yeah.
Half Egyptian?
Yeah.
So when all that shit went down in Egypt, did you have anything?
I mean, obviously, I was, like, interested. It was an interesting news story, and I was like, well, I'm part Egyptian. That's very interesting. But I don't really have any... I have no ties to it, man. I wasn't raised in any sense... In any way, in any capacity of an Arab upbringing at all. I didn't know any Arab people at all until I was in college. I knew one kid. I think his name was Wegby, and he was an Egyptian kid. He was literally the first Arab person I ever met in my life. I'm sure I probably met some just in passing at a store or something like that. But, like, he was literally the first Arab person I ever knew.
Do you think your parents are fucking, like, degenerates?
My biological parents? I don't know.
Think about it? You ever think like,
yeah,
are they middle class? Are they fucking dirtballs? Are they broken up? Or maybe they fucking millionaires?
Yeah, I've thought about that. My theory was always just that they probably came here and probably didn't have a lot of money and fucked up and got pregnant and tried to do the right thing.
And did they make money off of selling you to white people?
Yeah, yeah.
They did, right?
Yeah, it was an auction.
So how much did you go for?
I think it was $1,000 and a Betamax.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, look, the reason that's my theory is I don't know what the abortion laws in the 70s were in Pennsylvania, but I would think that if they were scumbags or pieces of shit, they wouldn't have gone through the adoption process. They would have kept me and raised me in a bad way. Or they would have aborted me.
I'll tell you right now, was your mother the Egyptian one?
They didn't tell my parents.
If your mother was the Egyptian one, that's why you got rid of you.
Because it's shame.
Yeah, well, she married an Italian guy or was with an Italian guy and was having a half-breed like you.
Right.
And couldn't have it. So it's easier to go, you know, probably didn't want to kill you, but couldn't have you fucking hanging around the family.
Right.
You know, because maybe out of wedlock... Or something creepy like that. And then, that you know, we just give them up. And,
yeah.
And the money, the $1,000 in the Betamax.
Right, yeah. it's crazy, dude. It's pretty crazy when you stop and think about it. But I don't know. Who fucking knows, dude? I've thought about it sometimes. I don't dwell on it. I definitely have subconscious issues because of it that I've had to deal with in recent years that I never knew were there.
Right.
But those come as much from just my upbringing with my parents as anything. That was as much nurture as nature. So it's, you know, but it does, you do carry a few things. There is like an abandonment issue that you have. Maybe not everybody, but I definitely have it. So that's something to deal with. And, you know, and then on top of it, you know, my parents, were excellent parents, and they're the best people in the world. But, you know, they couldn't have kids, dude. They couldn't have kids.
Was it your dad or your mom?
My mom got pregnant once or twice, and I think she might have gotten pregnant and possibly had a miscarriage, but she doesn't.
Did it come out like a stone baby, like a fossil baby?
What's that mean?
You never heard about that?
No.
There's sometimes women get pregnant and the fucking baby fossilizes in the uterus.
Well,
it comes out like a fucking rock.
Yeah, I don't think that
happened. Like it was hit by a volcano in Pompeii.
I don't think that happened. We've never really talked about it at length. You know, but just given like when I get the sense that probably was the case, but she's always just said we couldn't have children.
Right.
So,
when she said that, did she fucking like do googly eyes over your dad and sit in a chair? We couldn't have children. And then fucking point over at him.
Just a head nod over.
Made a fucking, just took her index finger and made a limp.
Oh, Jesus. Sorry. Can you please?
All right. Sorry.
Yeah. No. So I don't, no, they were just, it wasn't a compatible, it was just a compatibility thing, I think. Right. So they couldn't have kids. So when you can't, you understand, dude, when you come from this Catholic, crazy Catholic upbringing, not crazy meaning mental, I just mean like stern Catholic upbringing that they came from, your whole, and they come from the baby boomer generation. The whole goal was like, you go to work, you get married, you have a family, you provide for that family. Like that was, I was talking to my friend Giannis about this, who's a Giannis Pappas, really funny comic. If you can ever check him out, check him out. But we were talking about this, and we were talking about our dads growing up. And I go, you know, I go, dude, we were fucking broke at times, and I never knew it. I never knew how broke we were at times. My dad hid that from us. He never let me see that. And Giannis was like, that's fucking amazing, isn't it? I go, it is amazing. And he goes, I couldn't do that. We couldn't do that. They were such better men than we were. And I was like, you know what, dude? In some senses, yeah, they were stronger men because it was a different time and era. But in the other sense, providing for and protecting your family to my dad, that was his comedy. Do you know what I mean? It's like the lashes and beatings I've taken from comedy and the emotional endurance I've had to have, that's what he had, except his goal was my family. It was a whole different ballgame back
dude,
then.
I used to have this joke in my act how they're not making men anymore, they're making guys.
Right.
And because there's too much fun shit to do now. There's too much fun, fucked up shit. I mean, there's grown men playing Wii.
Right.
You know, Xbox and fucking TVs and, you know, iPhones and iPads and games and fucking apps. And, you know, my grandfather, I used to say, my grandfather was a man. He'd come home, sit in a chair with a lamp. That's it. He'd come home, sit in a fucking chair. He had three channels to watch TV, read a fucking book, right, and he'd go to bed.
Right.
At 10 o'clock. Because he had to wake up at 5 o'clock or 5:30 to go to work.
Right. Well, it's funny though that I think every guy's got a little of that fun shit. I remember when Nintendo came out, the first Nintendo, and I remember it was Christmas time. I got this stupid laser tag game, ripoff game called Photon, for Christmas, and it just sucked. I wanted it, but then we got it, and I was playing with it, and it just sucked. And my dad could see that it sucked, and it was like my big present. And I remember he was like, it was the day after Christmas. He's like, you want to take Photon back and get Nintendo? And like, dude, my head almost flew off my fucking body. I just, no, like, I never thought he would let me have it. And I was like, yeah. And we got it. And I remember for like 2 months, my dad would come home with Nintendo games. And he was like excited.
Yeah.
Like, well, I got this game. This just looks cool. And he would play it with me.
Well, that's, you know? Well, I'll tell you a little story about my childhood. My second stepdad, because my first father, I didn't know.
Right.
When I was a kid, I didn't get to see on Christmas. I remember my second stepdad, Billy, got me an electronic truck. You know, the nice big ones that remote control and, you know, the two thumb fucking moving gears and your antenna. And I can't tell you how excited I was. I got this fucking remote control truck. Unbelievable. Flies. Not the little shit one. The fucking legit one.
Yeah, the model shop one.
The fucking Radio Shack one. The fucking, the one you get that flies, that big wheels and,
yeah,
you know, could go down the street and back.
Right. Because
the antenna was fucking huge.
Right.
And he got it, and I played with it for a couple of times, and then, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing. Let me teach you. Let me show you how to do this. Let me just show you. You're gonna fucking break it. You're gonna fucking break it, you idiot. Let me see. And he goes, this is what you want to do. And he started playing with it. And then he started having fun with it. And you're not supposed to touch the antennas together for some reason. And he touched the antennas together. And he fucking broke it.
Jesus.
He broke it.
Well, Merry Christmas.
And then he blamed me.
Merry then, Christmas. Yep. Smoke him up, kid.
And that, yeah. That's the Christmas I had. Those are the Christmases I had, Joe. And then my mother moved out finally, and we moved into a two-bedroom. Me and my sister and my mom. My mom had to sleep on the living room floor. That was her bed. I remember coming home, and big nights where she would have cheese and crackers. Or she made cream of tuna, which was tuna fish, with cream of mushroom soup over white rice. With frozen peas and a glass of water.
What's the name of this one-man show you're performing right now?
Well, Jesus. It's so funny you hear you talk about your dad going, you want to get Nintendo? Yeah. And then you go get Nintendo, and he buys games, and you little adopted Egyptian. You motherfucker.
They were happy that they had a kid.
Ugh.
Because they, you know, that was it, dude. It was a miracle.
That's where it bugs me, like, about your birthday parties.
Why?
Well, because, you know, I never had a really, I had birthday parties growing up, but I never had friends over. My mother threw one party for me when I was young. I think I was in sixth grade or fourth grade or fifth grade. We were in there. And I remember something happened, and I started crying like kids do on their birthday. You know, in fourth or fifth grade, kid might get a little disappointed or something, or his self-esteem might get fucked up.
Right.
And they yelled at me and made me go, that's it, party over. I remember sitting on the stairs crying because my party was over because my feelings got hurt. Instead of fucking, you know, coddling me like you probably got coddled.
No, I got, my parents smacked me around when I was
didn't say they smacked me around. I'm just saying that, you know.
No, but I'm saying I got, trust me, dude.
They didn't take away your fucking birthday.
No, my mom wouldn't think twice about sending me up on a special occasion if I was acting up. She wasn't, she didn't pussy me.
Well, I never really had birthday parties, no friends over. Nobody ever came to my parties. I never had one of those.
Jesus, Bob.
And now you know, you throw these fucking shindigs every year for yourself.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. And I try to make this very clear when I when I do this every year. I'm not throwing a shindig to celebrate me or come out and be with me.
Yeah, you are.
No, this is what I'm doing.
All's I got was shit doing from everybody at the party that night because you can't come out for your friend's birthday
they
party.
First of all, one person gave you shit. It was Andy Levy on
Twitter.
No,
it was Anthony's girl.
Of course.
Morgan Murphy tweeted it.
Of course. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. Here's the thing, dude. It's not, I don't do that to be like, let's celebrate my birthday.
Oh,
I do that
God.
Because I am a fan of a drink. You know that. It's one night in the year outside of maybe Christmas where I could conceivably call up everybody I like having a good time with and try to get them all together in one spot, and we all fucking have a bunch of drinks and act
for
like
Joe's
idiots.
Birthday.
Dude, I would do it on the... I did it on the 4th of July at my apartment with some friends. I do it...
You do it every
year. I try to do
it
at Christmas if I can.
You do it every year. You throw yourself a birthday party. You invite the industry.
Oh, God.
And some, you invite everybody, okay? And they all come down and celebrate Joe.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they
come
do.
Down
That's
and get shit faced.
No, they're there for you to celebrate your birthday.
We,
to be with you and buy you drinks and happy
nobody
birthday.
Buy, I don't
Did anybody
take,
sing happy birthday?
No.
Did anybody say happy birthday?
A couple people they show up. Hey dude, happy birthday. Thanks for coming. Get
just
a drink.
Just a couple
and
in, people.
And for your advice, and Anthony and Andy Levy can both attest to this. They walked in and go, DeRosa, what do you want? Let's get you a drink. And I said, fuck that. I'm going to buy. Let me buy a round. No, it's your birthday. I don't give a fuck. It's not about that. We're here to have a good time. What do you guys want?
I want you the fucking knight in shining armor.
It's fucking, you know, it's just fun, dude. Any occasion to get people together to have a good time, let's fucking do it, man.
All right. Fucking goddamn. A Margaritaville. What are you fucking... The fuck away from me.
It's a good time.
Oh, you stink.
It's a good
really?
Time.
Really? Do you go to Sammy Hagar concerts too?
What does that mean?
Just a good time.
No, I don't like Sammy Hagar.
Anyways, all right, let's move on from this.
You know another time I do it?
When?
If my favorite band, Bad Religion, they come around every couple of years.
Yeah.
Maybe every other year. Every time they come around, I call my buddies from home. I go, dude, I'm buying the tickets. Get your asses to New York. And we go out and we have a fucking party night. It's okay. Just, it's an event.
How come you've never thrown a party for me? How come you never had a Bob Kelly night?
Because this was, in all honesty, this was the first year that we were close enough that I would have conceivably done that. And your wife did it. And I would do that in a second for you next year. In a second, dude. And don't think I didn't have a million secret goddamn conversations with Dawn about that fucking party. Did I not, Dawn? Can you? Thank you.
That was going to be the best party ever. That was going to blow every party
it
out.
It was
of
a great party.
It was a great party, but the original party was 100 people, a fucking burlesque dancer, fucking food and friends and the poker machines and blackjack tables and fucking magic.
Do it next year and pray
and
now that it doesn't get raided after you just announced that illegal operation you were going to have.
Somebody doesn't die.
Jesus. Come on.
God, I'm just saying. I mean, come on. Really, God? Really?
Oh, boy.
Really?
That party was wonderful. You know what? His party...
Hang on one second. I was just handed a note by my wife, and I'm glad you handed me a note. Is that Jimmy Iannuzzi?
Yeah.
He's in critical... You're kidding me.
No.
Who's Jimmy Iannuzzi?
Look it.
Oh, my God. This is fucked up. That's the car?
Yeah.
And wait a minute. He got into a fucking... Jimmy Iannuzzi's a friend of mine. That's terrible. He's a comic. When we all started out... Me, Dane, or, you know, and Al, and he used to do comedy, and he ran a room at the Silver Fox. It was like a Italian fucking supper club type place.
I think I've heard you guys talk about that place.
Yeah. We used to do comedy there, and he was a friend of mine, good guy, you know, well-connected.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
And he got into a car accident?
Yeah, he's in critical condition due to a 3-car crash by a woman that hit a bear.
Jesus.
In fucking New Hampshire. Was it Maine?
Jesus
Christ.
Oh,
my God. She showed me a picture of it, too.
That's terrible.
Yeah, geez, that sucks. Yeah. Oh, well, all right. Well, then who gives a fuck? It's going to be all right. I don't know them.
But it was a bear. The woman hit the bear, and he swerved to avoid the bear.
Right.
And that's what happened to his car.
Wow. He's all right, though.
Yeah.
All right.
God
moving
damn
on.
It. That sucks.
Yeah.
Stuff like that freaks me out.
Oh, you fucking, here you
but
are with
no,
your death shit again. See, now you fucked them up about driving a car. This guy fucking walks around the streets thinking something's going to fall on his head. He's going to have a heart attack. Some fucking lesion's going to pop in his brain. Now he's not going to be able to rent the car and drive because he's going to hit a bear.
Here's why. When it's your time, it's your time. That's so scary to me, dude, that there's no rhyme or reason. You can go through life and be as careful as you want to be. It doesn't matter, dude. When it's time, it's fucking
have
time.
Have a piece of cake, fatso.
No.
No. What do you want to... You want to die healthy?
I don't know. I want to just for once look in the mirror and feel decent. I was with a girl recently and she felt my arm and she went, "When did you start getting a little buff?"
Really?
And I was like, ooh.
Well, who was she dating before you, Dan Natterman?
She was dating Danny LoBel. And,
well, I mean,
I'm joking, by the way, Danny.
Yeah, but I only started thinking about death in the last year after Mike DiStefano passed away.
Yeah.
And Greg Giraldo passed away. I mean, Greg passed away fucking horrific. You know, especially me being a recovering alcoholic and drug addict, that, you know, to know how I've been there. I've been where you can't let go of it. And I was there at a young age. And it makes me so grateful that I got out of it. You know, somehow God lifted me out of that. And I know you don't believe in God, but, you know, I got lifted out of that and put into, you know, it just, I was done. But, you know, that was terrible. But Mike D really fucked me up. Because, you know, Mike DiStefano, you know, I really like Mike D. He had his, you know, like all of us. We're all fucking sociopaths. We're all fucking egomaniacs. But I think, in general, comics, when it comes down to it, we are there for each other. We have some type of bond. We get how fucking hard it is for us to make our way in this business. You know, because, you know, actors and musicians, it's a different realm. You know, there's a... We're fucked up. We're looked down upon.
Well, comedy is a dysfunctional brotherhood where we're all fucked up.
Yeah.
We all kind of do shitty stuff to each other. We let our egos get in the way. We do things that we treat each other in ways that we shouldn't. We also treat each other very well. But it's one of those things where at the end of the day, it's like guys in a barracks. The guys in the fucking barracks might fuck with each other and argue and go through their shit, but as soon as the enemy's in sight, it's like, I got your fucking back.
Yeah.
That's the way it is with comedy. It's like, if anybody fucked with one of us, everybody's got, you know, we all got each other's back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, Mike D, you know, I remember when he middled for me years ago at the Stress Factory, and he was just, you know, just bitching and moaning about, how do I do this, and these people won't give me a shot, you know, Bobby, they fucking... You know, and it's just like, dude, just keep doing it. Just stop. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep trying. Don't worry about it. But yeah, I know, but these fucking assholes, and, you know, and that's what Mike D was. Mike D, you know, he could be annoying sometimes because, you know, it was always about Mike D. You know, I got this and this guy loves me and these people love me and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, all right, everybody fucking loves you, Mike. But he was a real genuine guy and he helped a lot of people. And, you know, I talking to him days before that happened about how healthy he was and how everything's going so good. And, you know, I was really happy for him for Last Comic Standing. And, you know, he was a hustler. He was a real hustler. And then to fucking go like that, then I started fucking worrying about it.
That's my point, dude. It's when it's up, it's up. You hear about somebody dying, right? And if you can sit there and go, like what just happened to your friend, right?
Right.
Now it sounds like he's going to be okay, which is great. But it's like you hear about somebody getting into a horrible car crash like that, and then the first question every time is, was he drunk? Was the other person drunk? Whatever. And then when you hear, no, nobody was drunk. Somebody hit a fucking bear that ran out in the road. He swerved to try to protect himself and crash. That's fucking scary.
I've been in car accidents. Have you been in a car accident?
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Scary.
How fast it goes down. How fast it goes down. How 1 second of not looking or something, and then all of a sudden you're fucking banged up, bleeding on the side of the road, and your car's totaled. And It's like, what the fuck just happened? You're in shock. And imagine waking up, you know, the next day or weeks later in the hospital, you know.
You have, yeah, dude, it's, dude, when I drive alone.
Yeah.
If I don't have, like, I got to have music on and shit. If I don't and I start letting my mind drift a little bit, I will have, like, flashes of, like, horrible car crashes in my head.
Oh, I have flashes of horrible car crashes all the time. And when I'm in a car, I always have flashes of just wrecking the car. I have that on planes, when we take off, when we land. I have the just flashes of horrible accidents, what I would do. I have flashes of falling out of the plane, like getting sucked out of the plane and falling to the ground, and that quiet, like looking up at a plane, then you're outside of it. I don't know why that would make you laugh.
Just the visual of you flying through the air, waving your arms around.
Dude. You're a fucking cunt.
It's funny. It's funny when you think about it. Think about me falling out of a plane. It's funny. It's a funny visual. Yeah, dude, it's scary shit, man. It's, you know, look, I'll tell you what, man. Here's one for you.
Tell me what, Joe.
I will. And here it is. Mm-hmm. When my uncle died last year, it fucked me up. And my aunt, too. My aunt died from breast cancer that spread, okay? Mm-hmm. She fucking beat this cancer 2 or 3 times and went into remission, and the whole family was like, Aunt Enoch is going to be okay. She's doing great.
Yeah.
And then it came back swinging. And then it would go away again. So that was like, what the fuck, man? Like, she had no control over that. It was nothing she did, right?
Right.
It was just life. And with my uncle, dude, my uncle, for years, smoked 3 to 4 packs of cigarettes a day. Camel non-filters. All right? He was a big computer sales guy in the 80s. He worked on Wall Street. You know what I mean? He was just one of those fucking mover shaker guys. He got in when the boom happened.
Yeah.
And did all... And fucking smoked. Ended up dying. Cancer all through his body, predominantly in his lungs. Not related to smoking. He had melanoma when he was in his 20s. It went away. He had a physical accident when he was in his 50s that temporarily paralyzed him. And the doctor said when that happened, the state of shock that his body was in allowed the melanoma to come out of its dormancy and metastasize and spread and attack his body in a way that it couldn't have done before because his body was so vulnerable. It's like, dude, here's a guy that smoked like a fucking chimney and died from lung cancer, essentially, but the lung cancer wasn't from smoking. That fucking spun me in circles where I was just like,
yeah, but
Jesus
here's the thing,
Christ,
though, is
man.
That, you know, I mean, those deaths are terrible. I'm not taking anything away from people dying of disease. I'm talking about, like, DiStefano was here 1 second and gone the next. That's fucked up to me. That's that Widowmaker shit. That shit where your brain pops open, an aneurysm, and you're just gone. You know, you're on a plane, and then all of a sudden you land and you're dead because you had an aneurysm, or you know, like what happened to him. He just had a heart attack. I mean, that's the type of shit that's like, holy fuck. Like, what the fuck? And you know, people say you got to live every day like it's your last and all that. That's easier said than done, horse shit.
Of course it is.
That's fucking way easier said than done. You live every day like it's your last in fucking paranoia, fear, doubt, and insecurity. Fucking trying to fight not to fucking just sleep all day. I mean, that's surviving. That's life.
And you can really just convince yourself that you're okay when you're not okay, but through distraction. That's
well. I mean, even guys that listen to this fucking podcast, man. I mean, you know, you get these emails from, hey, man, you got me through the day, or blah blah blah. You know, there's people out there right now just depressed, sad, fucked up, fat, lonely, scared, unsatisfied, and it's, you know, just like me and you. I mean, we're the same way. You know, we have to pep each other up every fucking other day. Right. You know, and we're living our fucking dreams. But it's, you know, it's You know, that's why, like, I was in Utah the other day, and I'm doing these shows, and usually I'll go in, you do the shows, you know, you sit around your fucking hotel all day, you get some food, you try to write some shit, whatever, watch some TV, you fucking take a nap, you do your shows, you hang out a little bit after, you go back to the hotel and repeat. That's like the other day where I went, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go rent the fucking car, I'm going to go to a fly shop, I'm going to rent the gear, I'm going to get directions, I'm going to go somewhere I don't know where the fuck I'm going, I'm going to pull the car over, or I don't know if I'm pulling it over in the right place, I'm going to go in a river, and I'm going to fucking fish. And was it the best time? No. I fucking slipped in the water. I lost every other fucking fly. You know, got hooked in a bush. I was tangled more times than I was in the fucking water.
Right.
Untying shit. And, but I, it was like, I didn't just, I was afraid of going. I didn't want to go because I was scared of renting a car and that's, and then going and I don't know where I'm going and going by myself. And I'm not a really great fly fisherman, so I don't really know what I'm doing 100%.
Right.
And it was like, you know, I talked to Dawn and she said, just fucking go. Just do it. I mean, I think that's what life is about. Is, you know, look, you're going to be fat and depressed or fucking lonely or sad or smoking or doing bad shit or shit that you don't want to do at any given time of your life. I think there's only a few people that I know that kind of have it down, and I don't think they do either. You know, there's people I know that do. You just, so I go to the gym, I work out, I eat right, I, you know, I do this, I fucking, you know, I take classes, I do what I want to do. And you look at them like they're perfect, but they're really not, because they have flaws too. You see them a couple years later, it's like, oh, I thought you never wanted to get married. And all of a sudden they're fucking married. It's like, oh, you changed your mind. You met somebody you love. Last time I talked to you, I was married, and you were like, oh, fuck that. And you made me feel fucked up about being married. Maybe I should. But then you got to go, ah, fuck, this is what I like doing. And then, you know, I think there's, I'm a little fucking going off a little bit here, but off topic. But what my point is that you got to just go do shit. You got to walk up to the shit you're afraid of. That's what I think is the most important part of life, is walking straight up to the shit you're scared of. You know, people say all the time, I was thinking of doing comedy. Go do it.
Right.
You're talking to me because you're afraid of it. You want me to give you some type of advice that will motivate you to do it. Just go do it. Walk up to the thing you're afraid of. If you're afraid of what, however little or big, just go do it.
Right.
Just go fucking do it. You know, like even when her nephew was here, the Intrepid's down the street from my house for fucking 10 years. I've never been to it. You know, because it's like, maybe it's a hassle. I don't know. But I'm like, fuck it. Let's just go. Stop. Just do it. Go. We went down. It was fucking one of the best things I've ever done. It's 2 blocks away from my house.
Right.
It was amazing.
It takes traveling a lot of the time to get you out to do these things that are right under your nose. Mm. You know, I noticed that when I travel, all of a sudden I'll be like, you know, San Fran's a great example. When I'm in San Francisco, I have spots in San Francisco that I love. There are record shops there that I really love. There are some sandwich shops that I love, and some bookshops and stuff. And it's like, I'll go to San Fran and I'll walk the town for a whole fucking day, dude. Mm. When I have 2 45 to 55 minute shows I got to do that night. I mean, here, if I have 2 10-minute spots or 15-minute spots a night, I'm like, I got to get back and I got to take a nap and I got to rest. You know,
yeah.
I go there, I'll walk around the whole day, and I'll go into like the Italian shop that I love there, and I talk to the guys, yeah. And I'll go to the record store. Hey, dude, what's up? I'm thinking about buying this. Have you heard this? Yeah, is it good? Yeah, I like this album. Is it like that? You know, I'll talk to people. And
I like that you just did the whole play. For you did both parts. I like this. Yeah, it's good. Who, you're both guys.
You're right. Yeah, there you go. But, you know, I'll do that, and I'm sitting there going, why don't I connect like this at home? I should. It's funny, dude. When I was in San Antonio...
But it was just, I did the same. We were in San Fran last time. We rented bikes and fucking pedaled over the Golden Gate Bridge and took a boat back. And
we
every fucking day we did something. I got a meat cone, yeah. Down at the fucking dock. I mean, I love San Francisco.
It's a great city.
Some places easier than others to do shit. You know, like, you know, someplace like Cleveland. It's when I was in Cleveland last time.
Right.
I actually went to a museum.
Right.
I found a museum and I found out all the history about Cleveland. And it was pretty fucking amazing. Cleveland was the shit. I found out the hotel I stayed in was the first indoor mall in America.
Right.
You know, it's like you stay at this. I stood at this hotel before. I didn't know that.
Right.
And then you're looking around and all of a sudden you look at the ground and the steps, these fucking slabs of marble that were put here 100 years ago are worn out. Because this was the first mall in America.
Right.
And people been walking on these steps for 100 years. And the atoms have worn out of the fucking the marble.
Right.
From people just walking over it. And you start looking, you're like, oh my God, the fucking people that have been, the times that have been in this place. This place used to be holy shit.
Yeah.
Now it's cheesy and a little fucked up. But it's like, wow. So, I mean, it's even when you go to shit places. So San Fran's an easy town to fucking get around.
Sure.
Utah, another one. You can go up to the mountains and stuff like that. New York City, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, every place you go to, there's something to fucking do. Me and Don went to North Carolina and went fucking emerald mining, which turned out to be horseshit, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. I know.
But it was still pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, it's an experience, man. And it takes a lot of the time just being out of your element to go do those things. When I was in San Antonio, right? I had fun shows in San Antonio. The people were very nice. I was bored out of my fucking mind. There wasn't a lot to do in the part of town I was in. And Wicked was playing a block from where I was staying.
Right.
And I got all excited. And I'm like, I'm going to go see fucking Wicked. That's going to be a great day. I'm going to go see Wicked.
Right.
And
did you pop the guy's cock out of your mouth when you said that?
No, I kept it in.
You kept it in. You just thought it.
Yeah. No, I said it, but just with the... Okay. I learned how to talk with it in my mouth. Okay. Right now.
I'm just kidding. I saw Wicked, too.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't end up getting to see it because it was sold out. But I was opening the show every night with making fun of San Antonio, and I was joking, but it's like, there's truth to this. I was like, I'm so fucking bored that I'm going to go see Wicked tomorrow. I'm going to go see Wicked. Do you guys understand that I live in New York City, literally 2 blocks from the real Wicked? I've never seen it. I'm going to go see this shithouse roadshow version of it because I'm so fucking bored. And it's like, but dude, like, now that's a joke. But the honest part, the truth to that is like, yeah, why the fuck haven't I, on all the Wednesdays I've laid on my couch all day with doing nothing.
And you can get free tickets through through fucking Apostle or Paradise.
Yeah, I could have walked over there and seen a goddamn... Every time I've seen a Broadway show, it's blown my mind that I've been like, this is the best entertainment I've ever had. Every time. And I never go.
I've never been to the Empire State Building. I've never been to Statue of Liberty.
Me neither. I don't want to go to that, though. I would go to the Empire State Building. The Statue of Liberty, it's like, it's a fucking schlep.
Okay, you know, dude, here's the part. You go down there, you take a cab, you jump on a ferry, you're at the Statue of Liberty, and this is where fucking, Jesus Christ, all the immigrants came and were on that fucking island. I want to go see Ellis Island more than I want to go to the Statue of Liberty.
My parents went and they traced their...
I'm glad they did that about them. They can't do that for fucking you. Jesus Christ. Fucking selfish bastards. Just find out what sphinx you worship and fucking get it together. What fucking scumbags?
Could you not call my parents
I'm sorry.
Scumbags?
They're not scumbags.
Jesus
but
Christ.
What, they go and find out their lineage and they keep your shit a secret?
Well, because they know if I find out, I might take off. There goes their potential meal ticket.
I'd love it if you found out your dad was a sheik. And I mean, just a fucking sheik. And he had an affair with some cheesy Italian Philly chick. And fucking, she's gone. Your mom's gone. And she has to be gone. Your real mom in this story had to get killed by the family, the sheik family.
Right.
They found out. They just wound up taking her out. But he went back over there. He's still heartbroken about it. But He's moved on, but he's a bugazillionaire. And you heard me, bugazillionaire.
I'd be out of comedy so quick, and I'd be one of those socialite douchebag kids that's always in the papers fucking up my dad's good name.
Dude, here's what you do. The first thing you do is grow a mustache. You'd have a mustache in a fucking day. A nice fucking Saddam Hussein mustache. And you'd have a towel on your head. You'd be back there in a second. You'd be gone.
Pop. Right away.
You'd go right to pop. You wouldn't even say pop. You'd just have one tear come out of your left eye. And you'd go and visit him, and just a tear would come out. And he'd go, son, and what happened to mom? And he'd bow his head, and you'd grab him. You go, it's okay, Dad. I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
I call him Father.
Right. Yeah.
It's okay, Father.
And he'd go, I got you a present, and it's a boat. It's a fucking yacht. And it says Joe D on the back.
The SS fuck comedy.
You'd fly. I'd be your little bitch, too. You'd fly me in to do the podcast.
The first thing I'd do if he bought me a yacht would be to sail it right into Philly and just say, fuck you, Keith Robinson, over the horn.
Yeah, well, you'd have to fly into Woodbridge because he's in between fucking Philly and New York.
I'd lure him down to Philly and not let him on my boat and then fucking leave. That'd be it.
You'd be gone. You'd be gone. You'd be a rich
Look, if I got a yacht, in all honesty, the first thing I'd pick up all of you guys. I'd be like, let's go. I'd pick up you guys, my parents, everybody.
And your new Arab brothers.
I'd leave them home and say, I'll be back. I'm just going to take this for a spin. And I would just fucking take off. Pick you guys up, and we'd go on a round the world party. That's it. That'd be the end of it. That'd be the end. Why would I even keep doing comedy at that point? That's the goal.
Here's the thing. On a serious note, we play the lottery every once in a while. The million, whatever, the mega millions.
And millions.
Millions. We play the lottery. And, it's 100. When it's 100,000, 200,000, a million. And I sit here and I go, did you ever find out if we won those tickets? We didn't, right? Ugh. How great would it be if this fucking whore...
Yeah, we did. We won.
If she was like, yeah, we did win. And she's just keeping it from me just because I never asked. Just teach me a lesson. But if I won 100 million or whatever, the big fucking, big jackpot, I'd still do comedy. I'd still write the book. I'd still do the secret project.
Of course
we're working
would.
On.
Of course
that we
would.
Can't talk about. I'd still fucking do all that shit. I just wouldn't go to fucking Buffalo or Cleveland. I'd be able to say no to certain places. I'd be able to go. Not that I'd go back to Cleveland. I don't think they walked me back, but I would. I wouldn't. And I say that kidding. I love the improv in Cleveland. I love the fans in Cleveland, and in Buffalo, but. I would still do the fucking same shit. I would still do comedy. I would still do everything. I'd get a place that was a little better. I'd keep this place. This would be my office. This would just turn into my office. And I would fucking, I don't think a lot would change. And I know people say that. I know people say that. But I don't think a lot would change. I would still be on the same fucking path. It'd probably be better for me.
You would just do what you want to do, dude. If I had that kind of money, I'd just make movies. I would just make the movies I want to make. Because the movies I want to make, I could make them for $1 million. And they'd look great. And they'd be fucking great.
Right.
And I would just make movies and try to sell the fucking things.
Right. You wouldn't be friends with me anymore.
Why?
Oh, you'd fucking get some hipster people. You'd fucking become friends with millionaire friends.
Why do you think this?
I don't know. I just think it. Maybe I want you to say no. That's not true.
It's not.
Say it.
There are better people I could be hanging out with now. I'm not.
Who? You don't have anybody. There's nobody. There's nobody.
Yeah. Well, then maybe you got a point, Bob. No. Listen.
All right, well.
It would be... It would just be a fucking goof, dude. It would be... I would just do what I wanted to do, man. I would do... You can... Dude, if you had that kind of money right now... because the whole industry has shifted. Technology has shifted. Access, capability, everything has shifted on how you can get things done now. Yeah. You can get it done so much more simply and so much cheaper than you ever could before. If you had $100 million and you invested it wisely and stuff, and you put aside 10, 20 million of that money, you could make some serious shit.
Yeah, but here's the thing, is there's still the make it factor. There's still the make it on your own merit. You know, there's still that make it like the way showbiz, you're supposed to make it. You're supposed to get a shot and capitalize on that opportunity. And that opportunity does something else. And then that does something else. You know, it's people that come from nothing that we're playing the lottery. Me and you are playing the fucking lottery right now. I mean, every night we get on stage, we're playing the fucking lottery. Every second we stay in this business. I mean, I was in that audition today. I went in for a voiceover audition. And I'm in the room and I'm looking around this... four good-looking girls and one fucking incredibly hot girl.
Right.
And they're auditioning for some other voiceover. And then there's five other dudes and me. And I'm looking around the room, and everybody was sitting there like, oh, my God, this national fucking ad right now could change somebody's life. If someone in this room books this part, their life is going to change. This is, you know, thousands of dollars. They're going to go from waiting tables or whatever bullshit they're doing to being professional in their craft. They're going to hit the jackpot. They're going to hit
I wouldn't say it's the jackpot, but it would alter your life.
It would alter their life. To them, it's a jackpot. Trust me. And I'm looking, but there was also in this room this fucking depression. It was two worlds colliding. It was two fucking emotions collide, that this could be it, and this, but it's probably not going to be. We're playing the fucking lottery. If the book goes to number one, if our book goes to number one and fucking sells millions of copies, it's going to change our lives. If our secret project that we can't talk about works out, it's going to change our lives.
Right.
And that's the lottery, because you got to put hard work, you got to buy the ticket, but it all comes down to one person going, yes.
Here's the thing, though. It's, yeah, I agree with you. It is the lottery in a way, but I think that this business, you know, I think it's anything in life, man. I think you're able to enjoy the wonderful opportunities that may come your way and the exceptional things that may happen for you, even though they're few and far between. But I always think anybody on top, anybody that really cashes in, you can only enjoy to a certain extent, because any type of success, to put it into like dating terms or whatever, and to put it into guy terms.
Yeah.
You've got to make it happen the way you make it happen with a smoking hot girl or something. The second you want it too badly or indulge in it too much, you lose it. There's got to be that big chunk of you that doesn't give a fuck. And I got to say, dude, every single thing I've ever booked in this business, every time I booked a commercial, I was walking into the audition furious. Fuming, dude, ready to walk out because I was having such a shit day. I didn't want to fucking be there. I was late. It was raining. Whatever it was, something just set me off. And I'm literally sitting there going, I don't give a fuck. I just want to fucking go home. This fucking thing's a half hour late. I've been sitting here. And then I go in with that attitude of, I don't give a shit. And then I nail it and I get it. Anytime I've gone in, one time when I went in for when I went in for Bored to Death and went in for Louie, and I ended up booking both of those, which was great. Those were two times when I was really like, I really hope I book this. This would be great. And I did, and it was awesome.
Well, you're saying two different things,
but
though.
It's like, but I'm saying that the times I felt that way were so minute compared to the times I didn't. And it's like the times I killed on stage, like really had my best shows ever. 9 times out of 10, I wasn't sitting there going, ooh, I got to get on. It was me going, it's just a job, man. I'm just going to go out there and do my job. And you go out, and you don't care, and then you kill. You know, it's like the second
I agree, you start caring too much...
And well, it takes the enthusiasm out of it a little
bit. I think, too, that's, you know, I forget, I think it was Dave Navarro actually said something pretty profound. He said that, you know, people are in this business, whether it be rock and roll or movies or whatever the fuck you're in, people have their eye on the fame and the fortune and not your eye on the actual fucking what your passion is.
Right.
It should be all about the passion. And I think even in the last few years, it's become more about the work and the passion of what the fuck I want to do than the actual outcome of it. You know, because, you know, when you have your, when you're constantly thinking of what you don't have or what you could have, you're really not focusing in on what you should be doing, you know, and enjoying life. Because you can be happy at any fucking time. You can be happy. My mom, me and my sister were happy when we lived in that 2-bedroom. That was one of the happiest times. We were happy. I was happy living in my grandparents' house with 13 of us in a 4-bedroom. I was happy. You know, you're happy growing up without money. You didn't know. You were just happy. You can be happy when you want. That was the one thing that hit me in the last few years. And it hit me because I got married, too. That I thought if I got married, I'd be less funny. I thought if I fell in love, I'd be less funny. It would take away something from me. But it actually gave me something. It gave me the ability not to give a fuck and realize that, you know what? I can enjoy my life, be happy, hanging out, walking, fucking watching a flick, going to dinner, and have a good time. I don't have to wait to get my goals or become famous or have a shitload of money to fucking feel good.
Right.
You don't have, you can feel good whenever you want.
Right. When you're not thinking about, what about this? What if this happens? You know? Dude, my fondest, literally, dude, my fondest comedy memories, and it's not to detract from anything that we're doing now or that I'm doing now, whatever. I've gotten to do some amazing stuff and I've appreciated every bit of it. And I hope that more of it comes and I hope that it continues to get better. I really do. And I believe that it will. But my fondest comedy memories are from when I was starting out, dude. You know, this guy, Paul Solari, who was a booker and a comedy teacher in Philly, who I really owe a lot to because he gave me my first large chunks of stage time.
Does he have a Twitter you want to plug?
I don't know, to be honest.
I'm kidding.
Go. But he, and he still
does Solari's Twitter.
He still does these shows. And, you know, dude, I was 6 months into comedy, and here was a guy that would say, my comedy graduation class show is Saturday night at Pocket's Pool Hall. You know, we turn it into a comedy show for one night. I'll pay you $50 to do a half hour at the end of the show. Dude, first of all, the idea of doing a half hour for $50 was mind-blowing to me. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. And, dude, these shows, it'd be me, Mike Vecchione, and a bunch of other guys that you don't know. But we all worked for this guy in Philly. And, dude, they were some of my best comedy memories ever because, dude, the special and trying to sell a TV show and or trying to write a book, whatever it was, none of that shit was even in my head.
Right.
It was just about, I get to do comedy. Like, I wasn't even thinking about any of that shit. It was so carefree and fun, and you'd get up and you'd do your set and you'd talk to girls after, yeah, and you have a few drinks, and it was just a goof.
But here it is now, is that's what I'm saying, is that my point is that you can have that now too. I didn't realize that the more responsibility you got, the more money you made and all the shit, the things you get with that, and you know, you're fucking sitting here being miserable and scared and afraid because you're not where you want to be, or you don't have the money you want, and other people have more money than you or more fame and all this shit. But it's like, fuck it. You can, you know, like like me going fly fishing. I had a fucking great time. I did something that I, oh my God, I was in the mountains. You know, we went to fucking North Carolina and digged for emeralds. It was bullshit, but we did it. It's a memory. It was a fun time with a couple friends. You know, it's, you know, you can have a good time and be happy whenever the fuck you want to be. You don't have to wait for the outcome of your fucking goal in life
right.
to be happy. Because you know what? You know what? Like, and not to bring it full circle to end this podcast, which we have to, but because you never know when you're going to fucking die.
Right.
You never know when you're going to fucking die. You never know when your heart's going to stop and you're not going to be here. And, you know, people will mourn you. People will be fucking sad and it will suck. And but people forget and people move the fuck on. It's just, you know, it's just it, what is. The majority of people will move the fuck on. The people that were close to you won't. They'll always remember and always have. But most people will be like, eh, okay. You know, and so fucking be happy, you fucking losers.
All right. There you go.
Yeah, so fucking.
All right.
Get off the. Don't be depressed. Even though you live in a shitty apartment, you don't make a lot of money, you have fucking dirty clothes, you fucking have no girlfriend, she left you, you're overweight, you're sad, you're fucking lonely. Who? You know what? You can change all that. All you have to do is fucking be happy. Put a smile on your dumb face.
Have fucking, yeah, dude. You have fun. It's always the little shit, dude. Yeah. You know?
This podcast sucked.
It was great.
No, I'm kidding. It was great.
All right.
It was a great podcast. I just want to hear you say that.
On a high note.
Oh, I don't know if you can get much higher.
We go out on the high. You want to go out on a high note?
Let's go on a high note.
Just a quick tech corner thing.
Yeah. All right. Tech corner. I love it.
And this is something simple. And yeah. You guys might go, well, who cares? But if you don't have it and you have an iPhone.
Yeah.
And it's probably up for the Droid phone too.
Yep.
Download the Amazon.com app. It is.
Brilliant.
It's one of the best apps ever. It's. It saves all your info,
right?
Okay, it gives you recommendations, everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a button, one click buy, you hit it, you purchase the fucking thing, it shows up in the mail 3 days later. It is.
Speaking of fucking lonely people that who are trying to be happy with fucking external things.
No, dude, it's.
if you don't want to be happy and just smile and be happy with life. Get this app, and you can buy things and have them shipped to your house, so it's you have something to look forward to.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. It's I mean, there's nothing better than sitting on the toilet and being like, I always wanted this DVD. And
yeah,
you
right.
go on there and you find it for $3, and you hit a button, and it shows up at your house 3 days later, and you got a movie you love for $5. It's a fucking great app, man. It's a great shopping online app.
I got another tech thing that I introduced you to, and you have one, and now I have the new version, which you're kind of pissed at me about.
Yep.
Which, if you have an iPhone, and they make them for Blackberries and other phones, but I'm an iPhone user. It's called Sonic Case, Sonics. You get it at www.lennetek.com. It's an iPhone case, but it's has a slot in the back for two or three cards, whether it be an ID and a couple credit cards, or an ID and a credit card and a Metro card. You know, so you don't have to carry your wallet around at night. You don't have to have that big, clunky, fucking fat, fucking guy wallet, which hasn't evolved in fucking 100 years for some reason.
Right.
Finally, it's evolved.
Finally,
where you don't have to. Finally, you can put a few credit cards in right in the back of your phone. Take it out with you. Going out on the town, traveling. I use it when I go through airports because I don't like to sit on a plane with a wallet on my ass. It'll fuck up your sciatica. I just have this. Put my license and my credit card right in there. Fly through security. Everything's in one spot. The only thing that does suck, if you lose your phone, you lose your shit. That does kind of suck a little bit. But you know what? Like my father once said to me, my third father.
Right.
He said, you know, I used to lose my house keys all the time. And he said, you know when you're not going to lose your house keys? When you get a set of car keys on here, because that will mean something to you. And you know what? He was right. I never lost my house keys after that.
Well, I agree with that philosophy. If you know you can't lose it, you're not going to lose it. It's like one of the reasons I never had a case on my iPhone for a long time.
Yeah.
And people would go, what do you do when you drop? I go, I don't drop it because I don't have a case on it, and I know to be careful when I'm holding the fucking thing.
Yeah.
You got a case on it, that makes your brain subconsciously go, throw it on the ground if you have to.
Well,
so this is the same principle.
Right.
Your shit's on there. You're not going to fucking leave your phone sitting on the table when you go to the bathroom and then somebody steals it. Trust me.
This case is, not like Joe's case, the older version. This case is actually really nice, the upgraded version.
Well, it's a different maker, too.
It's a different maker, but it's a better case.
I appreciate that you didn't pick up two of those.
Well, maybe I will, Joe. All right, that's another
You told me today you got me one.
All right.
I knew you were lying.
All right.
It was terrible.
All right, we're going to wrap this up. We got at Joe DeRosa Comedy on Twitter and joederosacomedy.com. Make sure you go and buy his album on iTunes.
Well, my new album comes out September 6th.
What's it called?
My new album is called Return of the Son of Depression Auction. It's a sequel to my first album, and it'll be out on September 6th.
So fucking uncreative.
No, it's not.
Say it again.
Return of the Son of Depression Auction, which is a reference to Frank Zappa.
You are so wordy. It's not even fucking funny.
I like the title.
All right. Well, it comes out, and
and I'm on tour to promote it all through September in the Southeast. So
yeah, we'll be plugging that tour. So make sure you go to Joe's website too to check up on those dates. And you know me, Robert at Robert Kelly, and make sure you subscribe. Tell a fucking friend. Pass this. It's up to you guys. You guys are the ones that are making this go down. You guys are fucking getting people to subscribe, getting your friends to subscribe, and their friends. And, you know, you guys are really spreading the word about this podcast, which is pretty fucking amazing because it's pretty much just two douchebags fucking yapping. This was a long podcast, but this was a good one, and that's about it. We're going to wrap it up with, you know what, dude? It's over, Joe.
Yep.
Anything you like to end it in a weird way?
Can you just end it, Bob?
I thought you liked to end it. And it's like, do you like to say
it,
something?
You drawn out asshole. Just end the fucking thing.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of You Know What Dude podcast on gloryholeradio.com. And make sure to check out all the other shows on the Glory Hole Network. If you're using the Stitcher app, type in the word fart when you register. iTunes users, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. If you're a real fan of the show and you want to show your support, go to gloryholeradio.com/Robert Kelly and hit the donate button. $10 will get you a shout out on the air. $20 will get you my first CD, Robert Kelly Live, not available in stores. If you have any questions, email me at robertkelly@gloryholeradio.com.